You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here hosting Right Side Radio. Like the dude just said, we are indeed solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, by the way, if you find yourself driving outside of the broad range of WVNN's AM-FM capabilities, just know that you can go to rightsideradio.org and click Listen Live, and wherever you is, there we is. We got folks in multiple states listening to the show, and I love that. All right, it is time for my favorite segment, perhaps one of my favorite segments of all time, really. So this we call the Grand Council. My brethren, Jeff Poor from 106.5 on the coast, and Dale Jackson from right here at WVNN's morning show, also our program director. We call this the Grand Council. So, Copper, hit that sound effect.
Assemble the Grand Council.
I just want those trumpets to play longer. I just think they need to play longer, like more effect. More.
I think we complained the first week that they were too long.
That they we did, and now that it's like cut it off in mid sound. But all right, fellas, you know the deal. I got Jeff, and I got Dale, and I got me, and we ping each other with questions. And I think looking at my notes that Jeff, you get to go first this time. So what you
there's
got?
There's no way there's any actual notes, by the way.
I'm looking. I got notes. What are you talking about? I keep minutes on the meetings.
Does radio like you do? Anyway, just shoot from the hip. Yeah, that's how you do it, Jeff. I remember my early days in radio. It just doesn't work that way, guys. My first thing I got here is Tim James yesterday. The announcement, non-announcement, whatever you want to call it. If he is indeed running for governor, and at least he's keeping the door open and making that a possibility. But let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Is he trying to create a lane for himself, social conservative, being in that social conservative lane? And if so, is there any way you out social conservative Kay Ivey?
Well, first of all, I'm trying to figure out if you're reading my notes because you just stole my first question and you said it almost exactly like I was going to say it. So I will go first before Dale then on this one. I thought that was a wackadoo press conference, first of all. I mean, he teases the world having a press conference on the steps of the Capitol. So people are thinking, oh, this is it. I mean, the steps of the Capitol. He's calling a press conference. He's announcing for governor. And what does he do? He talks about social issues and says the issue of whether he runs for governor is for a later day. I mean, that was almost like a Jim Ziegler moment. I do think what he's trying to do is exactly what you just said. He's trying to create the lane. He's trying to stake his ground on the social issues and claim that he's the social issue guy and be populist in his approach. That's my thoughts. Dale?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And, you know, it's kind of embarrassing. And Kay Ivey comes back and goes, hey, I'm glad you're worried about yoga. You know,
exactly.
You know, she roasted him. And, you know, so you got zinged by Kay Ivey or whoever's writing Kay Ivey's press releases. It doesn't really matter. And he got kind of embarrassed, I think. And, you know, does he care? No. He got the headlines he wanted. But, you know, I just don't see what this was about, why he did this. Maybe he's just trying to gauge interest. I don't know. But let me just say, if you're trying to gauge interest, I am not interested.
So Jeff, your own thoughts on your own question.
Well, I think, we're all in agreement here, but there is something to be said. You know, at times it does feel like we're a little too in cahoots with the business community. We're more concerned about what we got to do to get our U.S. News and World Report business rankings up higher. So that way we approach Common Core or we shy away from transgenderism, legislation, things like that. So I maybe there's a lane there, but in reality, we're talking about Eastern mysticism as one of the talking points, and I just don't know that there's anywhere else to go there.
All right, Dale, take your question, man.
Okay, so my question is about Jeff. By the way, did you actually record that video of Britt and Brooks in Coffee County?
No, I was on the air when all that went down.
Okay.
I had a tipster tip me off to that.
Okay, good. So let me ask this. When you saw that, who won that little dust-up in your opinion?
I think it was a draw, but it shouldn't have been. Mo Brooks should have won that that dust-up. How many times we got to litigate the whole 2016 Mo Brooks-Donald Trump thing, and he wins it every time. And but I think there is some hay to be made. I know people will say, let's just move away from Roy Moore. None of that matters. But she, you notice Katie Britt never answered the question. So I think Mo Brooks probably should have won it. But I mean, there's just something about Congressman Brooks, a lack of discipline or a lack of, you know, if you're going to go on attack, be ready. You listen to your advisors. They're not trying to lead you astray. A lot of it just seems like shoot from the hip, a lot like you, Dale, but not be ready for that counterpunch.
Take it, Dale. Go forward with it.
First of all, I appreciate that me and Mo Brooks have the same philosophy. I'm a fan. Also, the other side of this, I think Britt won just by having the conversation. I think that's the case. I do think she's eventually going to have to answer the question directly. Would you have voted for Roy Moore? Also, if she didn't vote for Roy Moore because she was out of the district, where did she vote in 2016? And you know, so this kind of opens up the door to a whole bunch of other questions. But I would say that getting that conversation out there happening, I think, is probably a win in her, in a step in her direction, just by drawing him into the battle. So you're right. Undisciplined might be the right word and the right way to talk about this.
Yeah, and I'll add to that. There's an old axiom that if you're having to respond to what the other side is saying, then technically you're dancing to their tune, and that's where Mo's going to have to be careful, is not getting drawn into discussions that are really just clickbait. But Katie Britt is sharp and she's personable, and if she can hold her own on the topics that kind of unsettles Mo. That's a win for her every time if that happens.
Keep in mind, Mo Brooks has made it crystal clear. He's not going to let anyone else define him. He's going to respond to everything, and that may be not to his best interest. But let me
ask y'all something. I didn't see that. I didn't think Katie Britt had that in her, to be personally honest. I thought, she's you know, this is the big leagues, and she looked like she was about to kind of, you know, let it go. And then she, like, I don't know, gets a second wind or something. And then it's time to bring up Mo Brooks and Trump. And then when she did that, and like you said, dance it to their tune, I thought she got him, you know, throwing those counterpunches. Congressman Brooks should have been ready for something like that, but he wasn't.
Well, I think he was, actually, because he, if you listen to him, he's like, 2018, 2020, 2022, I've got Trump's endorsement, including in this race. I mean, that's the knockout blow.
No, you don't.
Fight.
You say we've litigated that 100 times. Tell us about Roy Moore. You go back to the premise or the original question. You don't.
Okay.
Right. You don't let her define the terms of the battle.
That's exactly right.
I don't know if you're Brooks, you want to have that fight over and over and over again because he wins it every time. So yeah, I
didn't know he doesn't. I didn't think he came off looking that good. He tried to work in a bunch of different bullet points all at once, and people just started kind of like, oh, look at this crazy man up there yelling into the microphone.
And I think too, I think it also it takes the debate to places that aren't even necessary right now. No one's voting on the Roy Moore issue right now. No one is. What they're voting on is Trump. What they're voting on is government overreach. What they're voting on is, you know, COVID policies. And to have a conversation about Roy Moore is completely unrelated. Don't go there. Just don't even go there.
There's another side to it, too. And it's that, you know, we've done the math here, right, Jeff? We've talked about this a lot. If you look at Roy Moore in 2017 and then Kay Ivey in 2018, the issue was Republicans stayed home. Those Republican voters who stayed home are going to vote in this primary. So maybe touting your support for Roy Moore is not the best thing in the world.
Well, I think there's a loyalty component to this that you got to consider. People don't like it when you turn tail and run, and that's what it seems like sometimes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Before we hit the break, so let me do this. Changing the subject here, but still dealing with state politics. So just here recently, Representative Howard Sanderford, who Dale, you can fill me in. I'm not sure if he's announced that he's not running. I thought it was iffy, but anyway,
he's not running.
He's not running. Okay, well then that's there's that. But then we also have Representative Dickie Drake out of the Birmingham area. He drew a primary just in the last 24 hours, a Republican primary, and they're coming out saying they're coming in on more conservative stances. They're coming in on things like school choice. And so I'm questioning for you, do we have anything brewing here where we're going to see more primaries against incumbent Republicans? Your thoughts. Jeff, go first.
Well, I think so. And Dylan, we talk about this from time to time. I think people, whether they could really make it work or not, but I think people are going to try to go after these legislators on this gas tax issue, the Rebuild Alabama Act. I know COVID's been out there, and it's made it a lot more difficult to get these roads and bridges better. I think that's a layup for some you know, for somebody wanting to challenge an incumbent. I think there's a lot of things you could go after the legislature on, and I'm not saying it would work in all districts, but there's some places that you can make some hay, and I think that is one of those districts there where Dickie Drake is.
All right, Dale.
I think you'll see more challenges. I don't think many of them will be successful, but they will get out there and try to fight the fight. So, yeah, I think you'll see some more challenges.
I think you're going to see a few. Yeah, I don't know if we're going to have an overwhelming group of folks lining up for these Republican primaries, because they also recognize that the money is very often with the incumbent. But if you have some folks that are polarizing already, or if you have some folks that have just made those few gaffes and you can capitalize on them, I think the polling has shown that if they want to make an issue of things like gas tax, they can, but it's going to take some effort. All right, folks, we got to move to our short break here right now. So, Grand Council, you guys hang on. We will be back momentarily with more from Jeff Poore at 106.5 and our own Dale Jackson right here at WVNN, the Grand Council on Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Right Side Radio here. Phil Williams, solid conservative and just plain right. We're in the middle of one of my favorite segments, the Grand Council with my brethren, my esteemed colleagues, and that even includes Dale Jackson. Dale Jackson and Jeff Poore. All right, continuing on, I think, Jeff, we're back to you, brother. What's your next question?
California recall went, I think, for Democrats in a big, 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 big way, more so than they expected. Do we read into it anything other than, oh, it's just California doing California things, or maybe we're overthinking, overestimating the pushback to some of these left-of-center policies? If Republicans couldn't do any better than they did, or a Republican candidate could do any better than he did in California earlier this week?
I don't know. I'm going to go ahead and jump in there and say I think the glass is half full on this. I mean, the fact that they even got him to a recall and made him sweat was a big deal, and I do have notes, by the way. Here's my notes right here and holding in my hand. So literally, a story out of this one actually came from Fox. It shows that there's some things we got to take into account. Like, number one is we may have seen what the playbook is going to be for the 2022s, because the Democrats had no choice but to get out there and pull out the big guns and go with it. And they made the race about Trump, and they made the race about issues of the green agenda and other things like that, that we can see things we could have anticipated, but we also got to see it in action and how they're going to employ it. And I think that was at the very least, that was also helpful. Dale, your thoughts?
California is California. Larry Elder is not Arnold Schwarzenegger. End of race.
Overly simplistic, my brother. Overly simplistic.
I'm sorry. I think it really is that easy.
That's why you need notes. That's why you need notes, man. You just need notes. So, go, Jeff, finish it up then. What do you think?
No, I think it had to be within 10 points. This was embarrassing. Now, granted, if it wasn't Larry Elder, if he had a real traditional candidate in there with a traditional infrastructure, maybe this is different. But I think it needed to be close. I don't know. I mean, you're right about one thing, Phil. I think that, the playbook was put out. They laid out the playbook. They made Larry Elder out to be this anti-science, anti-vaxxer, and he really wasn't that when you look at what he said, but that's what they branded him as, and it worked. It was successful.
It was, and it was also in a D+30 state. I mean, yep. Good luck Republicans winning that governor's race no matter what. All right, hey, Dale, you go.
All right, you'll know this one, Colonel. 15-6 investigation into General Milley. My question is, does that ever happen, and does it get more investigation than the Article 15 that I got when I was in the Army?
So my thoughts on this, I've got a whole section here with clips and all about Milley. We've been talking about that a little bit on my show just before you came on. And I'm of the opinion that he has become a complete source of distraction. But at the very least, they've got the world stopped talking about Afghanistan. But I do think that as more I've looked into it, Milley has stepped over the line based upon the fact that the Former acting SecDef, Secretary of Defense Chris Miller said, I never authorized, as a civilian lead, I never authorized that phone call that took place in January at the very least. And I think there's going to have to be some change. Milley should have resigned when Trump left office. He should have left with the previous administration and been done with it. Instead, he came on into a polar opposite foreign policy, defense policy, and as a result, he's hosing the tail end of his career.
I agree with that.
Jeff?
Well, I don't think they're going to jettison Milley or Austin or any of these guys out only because they don't want to give Republicans a W. It's that simple. They don't want to concede anything that could be construed as, you know, we're giving into the Trumpsters, we're giving into the Republicans. They got to keep that animosity ginned up that everything that that side says is 100% wrong, and we're sticking with Milley. I don't think anything comes of this, at least not in the short term.
All right, wrap it up quick, Dale. We got about a minute. What do you think?
I think Jeff's right. Nothing happens there, and this guy just kind of rides it out. But he could also make a nice fall guy too.
Yeah, he could. He could be the scapegoat. I'm thinking he goes about another 5 or 6 months, and then decides it's time to go to the House and just quietly retire and hope that no one calls his name for a hearing thereafter. That's what I'm thinking. Well, fellas, that is the end of our time. My brethren, Jeff Poore from 106.5 and Dale Jackson right here at WVNN, I appreciate you every week, the Grand Council. So, folks, the Grand Council is so worth it because I get to hear their opinions. We don't even always agree, but it's neat to bounce these things off each other, and I hope you enjoy this too. All right, folks, we're going to come back. We're going to finish up a little more on this show. I'm going to open the phone lines up. If you're ready, 866-494-9866, 866-494-9866. And just talk about the things we've covered. What do you think about Milley? What do you think about Mo Brooks, Katie Britt going at it with each other? What do you think about the fact that I've discussed freedom at great length in the first hour of this show? News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative. Just plain right. We'll be right back.